Let's have our opening scripture. This is from Philippians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 7. And I'm sure that verse 4 many of you are familiar with. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. But the other verses that go with it are all connected, and it's difficult to just pull one out. I brought this in the New Living Translation. Many of you probably don't have that. It isn't a very... There aren't a lot of these like in our computer programming, so I typed it out. Did you type it, Tom? You did. Oh, isn't that nice? He's so helpful. Always be full of joy in the Lord. And if we're full of joy, then there's no room to be full of anything else, is there? Full of hot air. You know, we're known for being full of a lot of things at times in our life, but we want to be full of joy. Joy is almost like an unspeakable gladness of heart that comes from our relationship with the Lord. Happiness depends on circumstances. There are happinesses. I'm happy about this and I'm not happy about that. But joy comes from knowing that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, knowing that heaven is our home, knowing that every day is a day that we have hope instead of hopelessness and despair, knowing that every day is a new day, knowing that all our sins have been forgiven, knowing that the blood of Jesus has been applied on the mercy seat in heaven so that God has declared us to be righteous, not because of what we did, but because of what he did. That is such good news. Religion will work you like a dog until there's nothing left, trying to convince you that we're just all a bunch of no good sinners. And they pound and pound and pound. But I'll tell you, God just lifts and lifts and lifts. His word is so precious for that. It's just so filled with words of hope and encouragement. And as we study his word, we learn to see us for the people that he says we are. And I'd really rather believe him. He has a much better report. And he says, always be full of joy in the Lord. And I say it again, rejoice. It doesn't mean rejoicing in things that are going wrong in our lives, or things maybe that we don't have a handle on yet. We haven't arrived at a victory. There's a lot of things that we're working on and working with the Lord, but we don't rejoice in that. We rejoice in him, because thanks be unto God who always gives us the victory. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. You might not be thinking you're triumphing today, but if you'll stick with it, you will. It's an absolute assurance. So don't ever give up on people. Don't stop believing in the people that you want to see saved. And don't give up on people in your household. Never give up on your children. Always believe and always stand and rejoice in the Lord, for his promises are true. And it says, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. The old English talks about let your moderation be known. Moderation is an old English word. If you were to put that in easy definition, it means self-control. That means just because you want to bless somebody with a brick don't mean you're going to go do it. Okay? Self-control, you hold back, or at least wear a glove so you don't draw blood, you know? You know what I mean? Self-control means let the spirit man be in control of your emotions. Don't let your feelings and emotions get a hold of you. Because when that happens, everybody knows, yep, they lost it. Yep, those radical fanatic believers. That's me. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. That's important that we learn as we grow and mature in our faith, that we grow to this place where we become more like Christ, and that we're more concerned about others than we are about ourselves. And we consider them. We put them in a place of always coming to that place where we treat others more highly than ourselves. Paul wrote a little more about that further down in the chapter. But that takes growing. It takes learning to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in us so that we become less, so that he can increase in our lives. And it becomes a lifestyle. It doesn't happen overnight. But these things, as we grow, they become the part of the new man, the new you that you are in Christ. And you come to realize it's a life about giving. It's a life of sowing our lives into the lives of others so that you will have a positive influence on other people's lives. They'll be glad that you're their neighbors. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. That's a good word. Amen. You know, there's all kinds of chaos in the world now, but remember this one thing. That's not going to last forever. And in the meantime, we just need to be about our daddy's business and be that blessing, be that witness. And if you have opportunities to share your faith and that salvation message, that's the number one thing. That's the most important. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That's really good. Don't worry about anything. Oh, I remember Aunt Ruth. She used to like that little tropical song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." And that should be a good song for Christians. Don't worry, be happy. If you've prayed about everything, why do you worry? Points to ponder. If you've prayed, then why worry? Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. He has a really good track record. If you think back to when you got saved and all the times that God was there for you in your time of need, and think of that track record. It's very possible because of the human side of us, we could disappoint and let people down. But God always upholds His word. He's faithful to His word to the end. And there is no end because He is it. He's the beginning and the end. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You see, when we give all of our cares and concerns to Him, He's big enough to carry those. And so if I were, I don't know, let's say this book weighed 10,000 tons of pressure on my life, and Priscilla said, "Why don't you give me that so you won't have to carry the load?" And I could be just stubborn and say, "That's all right. I'm from Vermont. I can handle it." You people in New Hampshire, maybe, I don't know, maybe you learned a different way, but that's how we think. Or I could just say, "Thank you so much," and give it to her. There, I don't have to worry about that anymore. And that's how easy it is. Just do it. So that you can go to bed at night and you don't have to lay awake, keep looking at the clock and say, "Wow, I stewed about that for a half an hour. Just robbed myself of a half hour of good sleep because I was worried about something." Gosh, you know, you can measure in seconds sometimes how long it takes to pray for a situation. If it's just one word, "Help." Help goes a long ways in heaven. Because God looks at the motives and intents of the heart. And to be able to have this peace that He's talking about, people don't understand that. How can you be at peace when there's so much stuff going on? Well, the idea is to grow spiritually so that all that stuff doesn't get down on the inside of me. It doesn't mean we're not in the middle of it, but we don't have to let it get down inside of us. And we do that through prayer, giving things to the Lord, people that are in your face, things that you're waiting to see changed. And don't let it rob you of your peace. And never let the devil have your joy, because if he's got your joy, he gets your goods, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, I know these are familiar verses, but sometimes I need to remind myself out loud so others can hear. Because I have to deal with this stuff every day just like you. If I believed every bad report I heard, I'd I'd be Mr. Sad Sack. Roy with no joy. I'd be an Eeyore Christian.
Oh my God, it's another Sunday. Go to church and have to give a pep rally for all Christians.
No, be a Tigger. Hoo-hoo-hoo! Have a good attitude about your faith. You got something. You have really got something that is so valuable. And if there was nothing to it, why do atheists get all bent out of shape? Did you ever think of that? They get all bent out of shape over a God they don't believe. How foolish is that? Their holiday's coming in just another week. April 1st is coming. Rejoice. Amen. Greet each other with a hug. I heard angels' voices in our midst this morning, in the singing and the praising. I know there were only three of you up here and all of you there, but there were heavenly voices as well.
Thank you.
And sometimes I hear voices that are not in this room in a physical sense. And it's very precious when God either opens up our eyes to see something or our ears to hear something that's of the Spirit. And we don't do things just to look for those things. But when we look to Him, they quite often happen. Well, I have some good news for you this morning. I don't have any bad news. You came to the wrong place if you want looking for bad news. You can tune in CNN, Corrupt News Network, or any of them other stations you know you might want to hook up with for bad news. But this is the place of good news. And the good news is I'm almost finished with our study on words. I'm getting a little concerned about that because when our snowbirds went south, we were teaching on words, and some of them are coming back in a few weeks, and if I don't hurry up, they're going to think, what happened while they were gone? Why are you still stuck on words? Actually, that happens quite frequently. Sometimes teachings are so long, it just takes a long time to get to the end of it. I can tell you that the next one is going to be on motivational gifts that are listed in Romans chapter 12. There are seven of them. Not to be confused with the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, those nine manifestations also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These are motivational gifts, gifts that God has put down on the inside of you as a gift. And it's what motivates you to do the things you do. So that'll be coming. But in the meantime, if you would please turn to Proverbs chapter 12 as we continue our, I think this is one of the most incredible in-depth studies on something so important as our words. And the things that we're discovering together are life-changing if we will take what the Word says and apply it. They will change things. Sometimes people are in a rut because they keep speaking they're in a rut. Sometimes they stay in debt because they keep saying I'm in debt. Sometimes they keep saying nothing changes because they keep saying nothing is changing. Duh. But it's getting better. Start saying, I don't care what it looks like today, but it's getting better. Amen. Proverbs 12 and verse 14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. Now think about the first part. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. This illustrates such a powerful truth. In light of all of the other scriptures that we've studied together over the, it's been months actually, we realize now and have a better understanding that we've literally become who we are by the words that we've spoken or allowed the words of other people to form us. Until we've learned to allow the Word of God to be formed in us, and we become conformed to what the Word of God says. And that's why I've been doing this on a parallel. We, until we're saved, it is amazing the people that we became because of the words that others spoke over our lives. You know, some of us, our parents didn't know any different. They spoke unkind things over us as children, and we grew up believing it. And if we don't do something to break that curse off of our families, we can be subject to doing the same thing with our children. And they in turn to their children, and it becomes a curse that just continues down through the generations in our families. We need to be the generation that's going to put a stop to it. It doesn't matter what we were called, what people said about us in our lives. It only matters is if we chose to believe those words, and then we became what those words said. The important thing now is that we learn to speak right words, words that line up with God's word, because those are words of life, words of hope, words of healing, words that encourage and build people up. Because there's also a spiritual law at work too. The spiritual law is this: whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If we don't learn to control this to where the Holy Spirit gives us words to speak, we've all been hurt by words, but we can be healed by words too. I used an example of how effective our words can be. If you walked in here and I looked at you and I said, "You don't look too good today." Man, you'd run downstairs and look in that great big mirror in the bathroom and, "Geez, he's right. I didn't realize I looked like that before I came in this place this morning." But words have an effect. And if we want to be satisfied with good things in our lives, then we need to begin to speak good things. We may have a pile of debt and we don't know where the money's coming from. But it's terrible to sit in a house and fight over a pile of debt. Wouldn't it be nice to grab your sweetie and hook up your faith? You've got a prayer partner. You've got one to stand and believe with you in the Word of God. Lay your hands on those debts. "Father, I thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and that you meet all my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And I declare this day that you give me wisdom and revelation, knowledge and understanding, and show me, Lord, how I can be better stewards of my finances until I see the day that these bills are paid and that I am not in debt anymore to lenders." Now you're starting to turn something around, you see, instead of just looking at them and say, "I'll never get out of debt." No, you won't. Not if you keep saying that. Because you see, you keep perpetuating the situation that you're in without offering, but yet you're expecting a different result. So the different result is start changing the way you speak so that you bring changes. And if you go around and tell everybody your husband's a whatever, a whosoever, or your wife, and you tell everybody all of that stuff, and then you come home and say, "Well, you ain't changing." And she might say, "Well, why would I change for you?" Well, you can avoid so much trouble in a marriage or relationships in the body of Christ and start reaping some good things as we learn to speak good things. Because words are like a seed. They're looking for a heart to take root in. And if the word is good, if the seed is good, it's going to produce a good harvest, a good fruit. And you will reap that and you will be satisfied with that. That's a Reader's Digest condensed version of this verse. If you want to reap good, you want to live good, learn to speak good. Good things. But you might say, but that's what it really is. Well, that's why it stays the same, because you keep saying that's what it really is. You see, things may be factual, but faith changes the facts. And when you speak words in faith, in line with God's word, or learn some scriptures that apply to a given situation in your life, and speak what God says about it, He generally has a different opinion of the situation than we do. Learn what it is, and then set yourself in agreement with Him, and learn to say to it what He says to it. So many times we tell God how big our problems are instead of telling our problems how big our God is. Because He's bigger than the worst mess you could ever see in your life. My sister's learning that. 45 years of marriage, and suddenly her husband's gone. And this is a little update. She's coming along, and I know everybody says, how's your sister doing? And I say, well, she's doing. She's not giving up. And she won't. Because she's got the Spirit of Christ in her, and Christians don't give up. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but the problem is people stop in the middle of the valley and see how high the mountains are. The word through means there's a finish line. There's a goal. You don't stop halfway through this thing called faith and just stop. No matter how difficult things look, there's something down inside of us that says we're not quitters. We're not giving up. How can you give up on that? How can you give up on the cross? There's something down inside of us bigger than that. And our words are going to shape our futures very, very much. Let me see. I have a little note here. Look at verse 18. These chapters in Proverbs that talk a lot about speech, about our words, the way we communicate. He contrasts the wise with the foolish. I know a lot of believers, including myself, and I've done some foolish things. Some I've been a fool for the Lord, some I've been a fool just because I was a jerk and didn't know any different. But I'm learning these truths, and I won't be as foolish as I once was in this matter. There is he that speaks like the piercing of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. And here you see the contrast. When I think of a sword, what a horrible way to die. Unless that sword hits a vital organ, you're going to live and writhe in pain for a really long time, and eventually you'll die from loss of blood. Words are like that. They pierce, they puncture, they wound, they cut. And they go deep, like a sword does. It goes deep, and sometimes it comes out the other side. But the words of the wise are health, healing. It does us no good to speak unkindly or evil of another person and kill them slowly. We've all done it. I'm not talking to a strange, well, yeah, we're peculiar, but we're not strange. But you know, we've all been there. And we've all been on the receiving end of that too. And so hopefully over the course of the months, you're already beginning to see the Holy Spirit. Just when you want to say something, you get a little check in your spirit and say, well, they might have deserved it, but I'm not going to say it. And when you learn to recognize that little check, that's the Holy Spirit saving you from hanging your own butt on your words and catch you before you do some damage. And if nothing else, learn that when sometimes you might not be aware of when the Holy Spirit is stopping you or speaking to you. And it happens very quickly. I know I shouldn't say this, but, and then you go ahead and say it. See, the Holy Spirit is already trying to stop you because he already knows if you continue to speak, because he knows the end from the beginning. Not only does he know the words you're going to speak, he knows the damage it's going to do to another person. And always remember, the people you hurt are the same people that Jesus Christ died for. And if God saw worth and value in their lives that they were worth saving, then we should learn that they're worth my being kind to and showing favor to, even though I may not like what a person does. But I have no idea sometimes where that person's walked. I have no idea what spirits are influencing them to say the things they say and do the things they do. Hurting people hurt other people. But the mouth of the wise, or the tongue of the wise, speaks healing, speaks wholeness, speaks wellness, speaks encouragement, lifts people. Learn to be people builder-uppers. And you will see that you will directly reap those benefits for yourselves as well. It's a wonderful thing about learning these principles, because we always reap back the benefits of these things for ourselves. Even though we're sowing good into the lives of others, it comes back. And sometimes maybe not from people you even know. God knows who to send your way. Verse 22, same chapter. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they truly are his delight. I want to be a person that brings delight to my Heavenly Father. And one of the ways that we can be his delight is to be truthful, to be people of honesty and integrity. And when we give our word to somebody, we honor our word. We keep our word. That's one of the first things that people notice about us, whether we're Christians or not, is how many times we say something and then we don't do it. We don't follow through. And people will always remember us for that. Always keep your word and be truthful. Learn to be people of integrity. You got to realize we have the nature of God on the inside of us now by the Holy Spirit. We have his nature, his character, his integrity. He is the Spirit of truth. All of those attributes are part of the new you, the new creation in Christ. And we have to get past, renew our minds to the Word, quit letting our flesh and our feelings dictate our lives, and start learning to start speaking and living the life that the Spirit of God has put down on the inside of us. And it's contagious. You know, we talk about serious things, but yet there's a spirit of joy in this place every week when we come together. It's here because we're learning, we're growing, we're all in this walk together. None of us are separated from one another. We're of his Spirit. And that's how it's so easy to share one another's sorrows and burdens, but it's so easy to share our joys too. But learning to be truthful, learning to be honest. Keeping our word is a really good place to start. I've seen too many movies and too many situations where when we were faced with telling our kids we'd come to their ball games or do things with our kids, and then the day comes and we don't come through. And you know, those form patterns in our children's thinking. They grow up and say, why should I believe Dad? He never keeps his word. He always lies to me. He tells me he's going to do something and then he doesn't do it. These are the truths that these scriptures help us to realize there's a way out. That's the good news. And I always tell you, this is a place of good news. There's always a way out. And that way is through Christ. It's through the Word. It's learning to change our words. And it might take a long time, because if we've done something for years, and that's ingrained in us, but at least start somewhere. In Proverbs 13, verse 3. He that keeps his mouth keeps his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Anybody ever been there, done that? Funny how that scripture was in there longer than I've been alive. Probably you too. See, we lived it out before we even knew it was in here. Haven't we, some of us? We learned in the little book of James, way over on the right-hand side of your Bibles, there's a whole chapter written just specifically about words, James chapter 3. And James talked about no man can tame the tongue. It's filled with fire, and it set things on fire like the course of hell. It just wants to do whatever it wants to do. But this says, he that keeps his mouth. That means keeping our speech under control. Keeps his life. Sad to say, in Florida, when Faith and I lived in a trailer park, yeah, we were honky trailer trash at one time, but you know what? Jesus came south and saved us right in the middle of the winter. But there was a man and his girlfriend lived next door to us. He had a really, really, really evil mouth. And finally, his girlfriend threw him out of the house, or threw him out of the trailer. And in the middle of the night, and this was after our son was born, he was just hardly a baby, but we heard a lot of noise in the house beside us from where that man had been asked to leave. And then we heard a loud popping noise, and it was a gunshot. He'd come home drunk, went to the trailer where he always used to live, and had taken a baseball bat and was beating in the door to get in, and little did he know, but his girlfriend had a new tenant called Smith and Wesson. He warned him, don't come any further, and he shot him in the chest. He was a person that Faith and I knew, her brother knew. He was one of the local motorcycle clubs. But his mouth that night got him killed. I didn't even think about who or what got shot. We thought it might have been Faith. His brother came in and drove in the wrong driveway by mistake. But it wasn't. It was my brother-in-law's friend. And he was very still. He wasn't dead yet, but he was on his way out. And I went over to see what happened and came back and called a local Naples, Florida Sheriff's Department, and they sent a SWAT team into the trailer park. And they came and told Faith to take Jeremiah out of the crib and lay down on the floor and cover him with her body. Because if there was a man with a gun in one of those trailers, those things are like tin cans. And if there was any more shooting, it was to protect him. And I was out with the police to show them which trailer, where to go. And by the time they had got there, the man had died, and I saw him starting to turn all gray. You know, it was a tragedy. But how true this word was, he was a violent man with his mouth. Every evil name that you could think of was always coming out of his mouth. Not just swear words, but just evil, mean words. And that night, the scripture came to pass for him. He opened wide his mouth, and he brought destruction upon himself. Now, I know that's kind of graphic. It's probably over the top from the ordinary. Yes? Right, you know, this illustrates, though, destruction doesn't always come by a gun, but it comes by our speech. And sometimes people die slowly, and we just need to stop that and turn that around so that we can bring healing in our words and comfort and hope for people. Learn to have a value for people. Even though we may not like what a person does, they have worth and they have value. Remember the parable of the pearl of great price. Every life, God was willing to give everything that he had for that one pearl. That pearl is you. You have the value and the worth to God. You can't ever say that you're not worthy of God's blessing, because that won't hold any water. It was God who decided that you were before the foundation of the world, before even the work of the cross ever happened. God already determined your worth and your value. Even before you were created in the womb, he already knew you. Last week we talked about you've been engraved in the palms of his hands. So that's my motive, to teach you to honor and respect one another. See, that's why there's no strife and division here. We are not a church divided. We are a church together, because these words work. They mold us, they conform us, they teach us who we are. And that honor and that love and respect that you show for one another. We don't have little cliques, we all click. We click together. Because we're learning these things, and it's exciting. And you'll be able to see things changing in your marriages, in your relationships with other people, the way you communicate with your children, the way you live among the beloveds, because we're his beloveds. And so, learn to, when necessary. I'm finding it more necessary as time goes on, because now with Twitter and Facebook, people just let their mouths run rampant. The only thing they do now is they've learned to text and type. Don't get caught up in that. so quick. People just, they respond like that without even thinking about all the people this is going to affect. How, if I post something that is so public, it's all over the world, do I want the whole world to know I got dirty underwear? Keep it up. You know, watch what you post. Your words touch people all over the world now. It's not just a little thing anymore. Be mindful as believers. We're living in a generation where everything is instant, including our mouths. And we need to be really careful, because you have no idea your words, how they can hurt or wound another person that you may never see. But in this age of electronics, and you know, we're all subject to hurting somebody and maybe not even realizing it. Might sound like a good thing to say at the time, and it might be true. But watch the motive in here. And maybe next week we'll be in chapter 15. So we're winding it down. I want to try to have this finished by Resurrection Day. That don't mean the day the Lord's coming for us. That means although we'll be learning until then, I'm very sure. Let you know ahead of time, though, I would like to have communion on Resurrection Day, Easter, and so you can have that to look forward to as well. But I really would like to see us through this. It just depends on how long everything else in the service goes. I don't ever like to keep you past 3 o'clock in the afternoon, for those of you that are visiting. And but always, we always, before we go home, we have a time that we like to pray for each other. And if you have needs, I always want to make sure that we have the time to do that, because that's really an opportunity to release our faith together. There are people in this room that are trusting and believing God to see things happen, and it's a chance for us to just hook our faith up together and believe with them. And I want to say something about one thing you might have noticed visiting. We don't pass a basket for tithes and offerings. We do have that little church building back there, and if God touches your heart to be a part of or support this ministry in any way, that's between you and God. We don't ever pass our offering baskets for those things. If we have special offerings or mission, that's different. But I'd like to believe that you understand the blessing of giving, and we're not a church that's going to manipulate and con you. I'd rather go get a job than to take you out of that realm and feel like you have to do something. There needs to be a chance for us as a church to go forward with what the Spirit of God is telling us to do, rather than what we tell us to do. And we're growing in that area. So if you need prayer, please come up.